Is that loud? Is that okay? We have decided, you know, it's the Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And that's come across today, hasn't it? That we shouldn't do things in our own strength. And I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but the idea and the power in that we each have to decide is quite incredible, isn't it? I find it really quite awesome. And I'll be honest with you, a bit scary as well, because on the inside of me, I have the power, the authority, if you like, the self-authority, the given from the divine to do what I like, to do what I want, to walk this way or that way, to go God's way or my way, to go your way or my way, to go whatever. And I find that all of those possibilities of me and y'all deciding as truly awesome, to be honest with you. You know, the devil doesn't scare me. I give him a healthy disrespect, and I'm not being bravado there. What scares me is the human soul, because we meet people, don't we, who just point blank say, no, I refuse, I reject the gospel. That's just scary spice to me. Anyway, we have decided that confident faith is good, but bold faith is better. Whatever that means, and I'm going to try and just bring some kind of facet, what I believe God is saying to me and through me to you guys today. In 2001, I was in QuickFit, in Wigan, getting some tyres. And you know what you're like, you're waiting and you're on the clock and you get bored. And I read all the posters about tyre pressures and exhausts and MOT regulations and Country Life and some of the dross that was there. Hello Magazine, you don't read it, do you? And so I was just getting bored, basically, and as quite clearly God said to me, read your money. Really clearly said, I want you to read your money. Nobody get excited, I'm not giving this away. I don't know if you've ever read what's on a £20 note. That's what it looks like. Where's Chris? Is she? That's what it looks like, Dave. It says a lot of things, but what struck me, it says this. It says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of whatever note that is. I promise to... I'm putting that back in my wallet, Nikki. I promise to pay the bearer on demand. And that hit me like a real lightning bolt, really, that God was speaking to me this sentence that I... Almighty El Shaddai God, promise to pay the bearer on demand. And I'm going to just do two of those today because I just can't fit the third one in. And we don't have problems with, I think, I promise to pay the bearer. We might have some trouble next week. Am I on next week as well? On demand. It's a word that hits us, doesn't it? We just don't like, but with God's grace, we'll be able to do that next week. I promise to pay the bearer on demand. I promise. God, Almighty Father God, who sings over you guys that you can, he promises to pay you. There's promises of God that are so precious, so eternal, so sure, so good, so indescribably wonderful. Those are towards you today. Like in this room today, there's Channel 4, there's Radio 2, there's mobile phones all coming in. The promises of God also are being communicated today to you. All we need to do is plug in, switch on, put the receiver up, and embrace them and know them. Let me read. I'm reading from the Amplified. That's my choice, really. But it says, listen to this. This is about Jesus. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. You know, I swoon over these words, and I'm glad. We should swoon over these words of God. These are eternal life. The disciples said, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Sex, drugs, rock and roll, overeating, overindulgence, holidays, Mercedes-Benz, all that we can have just does not do it. You, Jesus, have the words of eternal life. The truth, that the power in that truth is the power to set us and make us and keep us free. So I swoon when this, it says, you uphold, you maintain, you guide and propel the universe by your mighty word of power. This whole, they just build bigger telescopes to find more galaxies. There's already billions of galaxies with billions of stars with, you just can't describe truly the universe. It's truly awesome, truly awesome. And God, by the power of his word, maintains and propels at 186,000 miles per second all of this stuff. And we sometimes get caught, if you don't mind me saying, in the microscopic, don't we? Just seeing my little Monday morning blues, and I've got to walk this way, and the possibilities, like we've prayed over people, that trip us up and bind us up. These small things, I know they're big in our lives, don't get me wrong, but the devil is a small thing. And what he says in comparison is teeny weeny, nincy wincy. But God's word maintains, upholds, guides, and propels the sky, the universe, all that is created.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory.
As sovereign, the Queen and her government have the ability to fulfill that promise. As sovereign, capital S, our God has the power and authority to fulfill his promises. You know, we don't like to think about being Pharisaical or legalistic, but there's something legal about the word of God. It's not under the law, but it's legal tender. Just as that £20 note is legal tender, the promises of God are legal tender. The devil is a legal creature. He understands the principles of the covenant and the word of God. All he did in the garden was twist what he knew he could twist. Because he had nothing else. Did God say, when you get to eat that tree, you'll be like God, you'll be better? They already had everything. So the promises of God are legal tender. But we've got to change, I believe. I've got to change my mentality and expectation. Imagine I went into Asda or wherever you shop, right? I go into Asda. And I get an item. This is where my heart is. The first item I thought of when I was imagining this was a bottle. There might be something in that. But I get an item from the shelf and I go to the checkout and the checkout person beeps it and it's $19.99, this item. That's what it costs, $19.99. And I'm just about to take the item and give her me money. I'm going to get a penny back. And she looks at me and she says, nah. Imagine the confusion on your face. Imagine culturally what you would think and how you would feel. Well, it was $19.99. What's the problem? Here's 20 quid. It covers it. This. And she goes, no. You're not good enough. What? I've got £20. It's nine. No. You're not clever enough. No, you're not having it. Well, you beeped it through. You're not in the right family. You're not the right age. You're not the right colour. You're not the right size. You're not special. Imagine your response. What would you feel on the inside? Imagine that. Do you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a God-loving person, but I'd get a cob on. Wouldn't you get a cob on? Wouldn't you say, no, you're out of order. I'm sorry, that's mine, because I'm going to give you this and I want a penny back. Get the manager. Get the manager now, because you're nuts, you're crackers. Oh, you understand? Do you get that? Yeah. Why do we go to God? Why do we go to heaven?
That's right.
And we let the devil tell us, nah, yeah, you're not good enough. You're not clever enough. You're not special enough. You're not the right shape, color, size, or anything. Because his promises are legal tender. It's a ridiculous attitude and a ridiculous notion. And we would rectify it on earth. And it's to be rectified in our relationship with God. Let me read this, Psalm 105, verses 7 to 15 first. It says this: He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is earnestly, please listen, he is earnestly mindful of his covenant, and forever it is imprinted on his heart. He commanded it and established it to 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham, he swore a promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob. And it goes on. Verse 42 to 45, if you're taking notes. For again, he earnestly remembered his holy word and promise to Abraham, his servant. He brought forth his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness and singing. He gave them the land of nations of Canaan, and they reaped the fruits of those peoples. God is earnestly mindful of his word.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you? There appears some hearts there. God is earnestly mindful of his covenant.
Thank you, Lord.
Earnestly imprinted on his heart. Hebrews 6:17 to 20 says this: Accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened and mediated with an oath. This was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or to deceive us or to lie.
Yeah.
We who have fled to him for refuge, might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. These teeth are out. Confident faith is good. Bold faith is something, maybe something that we've not discovered or adventured in, like God wants us to, is calling us to today. It's impossible for God to lie. And I think there's two reasons why God can't lie. One, he's holy. He's just got that character. He can't lie. He's righteous through and through. It's not what he does, it's who he is. He's holy and he's righteous. But I had an adventure. I was thinking of having an adventure with God, having a bit of a game, and giving him a piece of paper and say, Lord, I want you to read this out. I want you to read this. And God said, because we're going to try and trick God into lying, okay? That's what we're going to try and do. And what it said on this piece of paper was, it says, in Ormskirk, it only rains on a Sunday morning at 12 o'clock, and it comes down at 45 degrees, and it's the colour and the texture of blancmange. Everyone's looking at the clock. What would you think would happen at 12 o'clock? Just that. Are you with me? God can't lie because his creative word. If what God's, it's a good job. Do you ever say something negative? You know, I'll kill you. Well, we're not going to, are we? God doesn't do things like that. God never uses a useless word. God never says something from a silliness of heart. God doesn't say childish or fickle or things that are not absolute, resolved, result, done and dusted. So God can't lie because he's righteous. God can't lie because he's holy. But God just can't lie. With all due respect, I say this. He's like the Skittle man. The Skittles, the advert, he touches and it turns to Skittles. No, some of you are looking like you've never seen that advert. God can't lie. Because everything he says, it's nearly 12 o'clock. If he'd have said that, listen, your windscreen wipers are going to be in a mess soon. Because it's going to be raining at 45 degrees, the texture and the colour of blancmange. Do we know his promises? I possibly could have gone the third one in by the way I'm going, but do we know his promises? If I was not to be so kind, I might say this with a less kind bedside manner. Are you ignorant of the promises of God? But I'm not like that. So I just brought that up as a possibility. Do we know the promises of God? Brethren, you know, I just know God's got stuff for us as a church, right? I know God. What Ruth said today, what the Holy Ghost is saying today. Oh. Do you know, are you in that position? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go, man? Are you ready to rumble? Are you ready to say, bring it on? Are you ready? Church, are we ready? And what God is saying in these, I have decided, we have decided, is all about us getting us into a posture. You know, maybe God's not giving us a building just because we're not quite ready. And that's not to bring us down. That's just, God sets you up to succeed. He doesn't set us up to fail. So I just believe God is posturing me and posturing us just to get that stance where we're ready to go, where we're ready to go on the microscopic and the telescopic. Amen. Are you ignorant of the promises of God? Because God's promises are steadfast and sure. God's promises, his truth, are those things that we need to have in our hearts, in our heads, and in our mouths that will bring about his purposes in these days. So, I promise to pay the bearer. I promise. We've got some bearers today, haven't we? We've got, at least one bearer who's abundant, who's plentiful, who's pregnant. And I'm going to say something now that might, don't throw stones at me. And, you know, just, have you ever lived like a pauper in the spirit? Circumstantially, situationally, have you ever lived like a pauper? Guilty as charged. We are. You know, those promises of God are the currency of heaven. And we are gazillionaires. Amen. There's no terminology. I just have to make it up. We are gazillion to bazillion heirs in God. And I know that I sometimes live from hand to mouth on some scraps. You know, like Ruth said about the posture, I wonder what we look like in the spirit. God's grace is good enough. Do you know what I mean? This is overall there. Would you like some soup, sir? What do we look like in the spirit? We are so rich in God. We have so much in God. So don't shoot me. Prayer is not the answer. ... Just wait. Just take a breath. Prayer is not the answer. I have heard people say to me, we need to pray harder. What does that look like? You know, like this one's really serious. The lights of heaven will dim when we get the result for this one. You know, all the angels will be going, OCF have just been praying for someone with cancer. You know, and what? We need to pray more. Just do more of what we're doing. You know, there's a definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. So prayer is not the answer. Well, what about getting more people to pray? Maybe that's the answer. There was even, I love America, I love all Americans. Yep, thank you. But even in America, and maybe only in America, Steve, they actually hired a jumbo jet a group of people, Christians, and had a prayer meeting 30,000 feet to get closer to God. If the cap fits. And what's that all about? What's that all about? I think we need to get people to believe more. We need to get more people to believe. And so where I'm saying prayer isn't the answer. Believing prayer is the answer. Have you ever spent 10 minutes telling God about the situation? Have you ever spent 10 minutes trying to get God in a good mood? Am I the only one? We do it, don't we? I've heard people, anyway, I'm not the prayer police, God forbid. But believe in prayer is the answer. Romans 4:16 says that we inherit the promises as an outcome of faith. Confident faith is good. Bold faith is better. You know, the promises of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we are aware of, when we know those promises, our faith can do nothing but increase. That's the science of the kingdom of God. You know the words that you know sets you free, but it also engenders faith. If you're not in the word, I just have to suspect your faith levels. That's what the word says. And Romans 4:16 says, inheriting those promises is an outcome of faith. Matthew 21:22 says this, whatever we ask in prayer, having faith, believing, we shall receive. And so prayer, we need to maybe look at our prayer life, if that's okay to say. So we're not just, now I chit-chat to God, I talk to God probably just when I'm awake. There's this, I just got this communication going, not all of the time, I guess. No, that's a bit heroic. And I speak in tongues as much as I can. And, you know, I'm just trying to be in fellowship with him and walk with him and practice his presence, not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a... But on Monday, as I'm walking, doing my job, I pray for all my clients. Are you with me? Yeah. So I chit-chat to God, and that's good fellowship, isn't it? Yeah. I'm just saying there's a level where we can get, where we can stand ready and aggressive, if that's not, that's a good word in God, aggressive in God, so that we can have those promises on the inside to revolution our prayer life. To talk to God in a different way. And next week we'll talk about how we can stand like Elijah. What's that fella all about? In the name of the Lord before whom I stand, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years until I say so. Imagine one of you guys said that. We'd just top hat and tail you probably, you arrogant thing, wouldn't we? But there's something on the inside in God. When we can stand before him, I love it, that stand, not sit. Sit, stand, walk, but there's a place to sit and be in rest. But that standing before God, awake, alert, ready, willing, on that mark, God, what are we doing? And God gives you promises that you then, I'm getting ahead of myself, can declare. 6 or 7 years ago, I can still see me in my little office in Pemberton. And I'd just read a book called A Different Way to Pray by Andrew Womack. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot the messenger. I think he's great. But when you mention names, some people go, don't they? And I had an experiment. I'm not advocating you do this experiment. I just said, God, for one whole month, I'm not going to ask you for anything and see if the sky falls in. Did that mean I didn't pray? Not at all. I prayed differently. For one whole month, and I caught myself. It was hard at first. Oh, God, will you give me this? Oh, God, will you give me that? Oh, God, will you give me the other? It was like a shopping list, a Christmas list, a wish list for Amazon or Argos. Will you? Well, will you? There was just this my prayer life had come to a place and God was clogged. No, stop a minute. So I made a decision to experiment for a whole month. I would not ask God for anything. What I did, I thanked him for so much more. Amen. Do you know what? It changed my life. I'd catch myself, God, I'm just not feeling. And a scripture would come to mind and I'd go, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The word says that if I submit myself to God and resist the devil, he will flee. I wasn't doing any heavy duty devil on your bike. I just, that was the word. And it's full of things like this. The Bible's full of promises. And that if I was, if Mike gave me his watch, and then I said to Mike, give me your watch. Again, Tesco, Asda, and the woman at the checkout. What? We do that to God on a daily moment by moment basis. We're asking for things and God's saying, what? You've already got it. You've got so much, people of God. Yeah. I've got so much. I am already a gazillionaire, yes. And I'm ignorant of it. And sometimes in my life, I apologize. I walk so under, yes, who I am.
That's right.
My elevation, not proud-wise, but being in the heavenlies, is reduced like a chicken scratching around for dust. Get lost. Stop it. Stop it. The Bible analogizes us as Christians, eagle Christians, who look at a storm and go, woohoo, we're going high today. This is a perception thing. And so for a month, and it was a great experience, maybe try for a day or half an hour. Just get into the word, know his promises and bear them.
Amen.
It's not just about prayer. It's about believing prayer. We need those promises to be in our hearts. We need to bear them. Not a little bit pregnant. You can't get a little bit pregnant, can you? I wonder what would my life look like if I was intimately aware and understood what I'm talking about? It'd be a revolution, wouldn't it? You wouldn't recognize me. I'd go home one night and he'd go, what have you done with my husband? I'd go to work and people might say, who are you? That's not a good thing to say, by the way. Is it? What would we look like as a church if we were intimately acquainted with the promises of God?
Yeah.
If we knew on the inside and we bore them on the inside?
Yeah.
So, and we'd go through the challenge of the word, the expansion of that word, the persecution that word brings, because it does. Because as soon as you plant that seed in that soil, a miracle takes place. I promise you, with all that I am, I assure you, I can't say it strong enough. Soon as you put that word in that heart, something happens, whether you see it or not. Like a seed and soil, it's one of the most simplest, but one of the most wonderful miracles that I know of. Inanimate, put them together. They start communicating, don't they? This dirt and this little tiny thing starts to communicate. Why? Because God is behind it. God said in Genesis, seed bearing, it's in the science of God. So when we implant those promises into our hearts and take care of them and bear them, it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for nothing to happen. Only dogs can hear me. But it is, it's impossible for nothing. It's impossible for, nothing's impossible for God. So I adjure you in the name of Jesus today, and I adjure myself. You know, I want you to look at me and maybe encourage me and exhort me in these days and weeks and months to come. Because I want to know that sense of being pregnant with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then looking after it.
Yeah.
Then nurturing it. You don't go climbing up ladders doing the gutters, do you?
No.
Well, it'd be stupid. Pardon?
No.
That would be daft. And we need to take care of the Word, what we've got. We need to nurture and protect that Word. We need to eat, sleep, drink, spirit, soul, and body, that Word. We need to hold it. We need to take it. It says in James, I believe, it says, let patience have its full work. And sometimes we need to be patient with the promises of God. It's not instant coffee always. It is instant what happens. If you get it in your heart and you receive it and you bear it, that's an instant coffee. It's happened. Then how that manifests on planet Earth is maybe another story we can talk about. But first of all, know the promises. Second, bear those promises in your heart. Hold on to them. Let's look after each other on our promises as well. Let's know each other, what our promises are. Let's maybe fellowship with each other and share with each other in small groups, little groups, connect groups, big groups, one-to-one. I've had this promise, Mike, and it's just been 20 years. I'm tired now. Let's get alongside each other and share maybe these promises and pray over them. And next week is the tricky one. I just know there's something in this demanding. It's gone quiet. But God is saying, I promise to pay the bearer on demand. And we'll look at that next week, of just what it is to demand. And it's not what we think, so please come. And anyway, God bless you.